friends, and welcome to Pharmacist Diaries, the podcast that reveals the secret lives of pharmacists, from where their journeys began, where they are now, and everything in between. Before we start today's conversation, I'd really like to take the time to say thanks. A thank you to all of you who have chosen to listen or watch the podcast, but also a thank you to all of my guests who have chosen to dive deep into conversation with me and share their professional and personal journeys. You guys have enabled me to embed creativity into my day-to-day life, and I'm so fortunate that I can share that joy and passion with you through this platform. This podcast has been a passion project of mine outside of my role as a full-time pharmacist, a mother, and a wife. Everything you see and hear has been built in my spare time. In order for this platform to grow and provide you with insight into the lives of pharmacists, I really need you to hit that subscribe button. I am super excited for what's in store for 2023, and a lot of that will depend on the number of you that subscribe to the channel and tune in to regular conversations. Thanks again for all the support, and I'm really looking forward to the development of this podcast and our pharmacy community. Don't forget, my website is now live and up and running. You can access full show notes to all of my episodes and more at www.pharmacistdiaries.com. Make sure you subscribe to my newsletter so you can receive emails of upcoming episodes, free content, and regular inspiration. Now let's see what's in store for this week's episode. Welcome back to the Pharmacist Diaries podcast.
Thank you so much for having me back.
I know, I love it. This is round three, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Which is amazing. I love it. And I love having you back. And I love that you always want to come and join me.
I do indeed. It's a great conversation, isn't it? And you learn heaps. So.
And it's a good way for us to keep in touch.
Definitely. I think we have random conversations, don't we?
Yeah, about parenting, work-life balance, all the good stuff. I guess the best way to kickstart the episode is not tell us why you became a pharmacist, but tell us where you're at, because the last time you were on the podcast, it was about a year and a half ago.
I'm still a mum. Still got two children, haven't added to the Midhouse family. So that's kind of personal life update there. Professional life, where am I at? So I think the last time we spoke, I was head of cardiovascular, respiratory and diabetes. And so in the last year and a half, my role has expanded. So I'm the assistant director of clinical learning at Education for Health. So what does that mean? Well, it means that I have ultimate responsibility for all the clinical learning within our portfolio. So we have two arms to the organisation, or two main arms, I should say. One is our CPD accredited learning, which is our short, sharp, bite-sized learnings around long-term conditions and other public health initiatives. And then we also have the other arm of the organisation where we're delivering accredited courses at a degree, diploma and master's levels in long-term conditions. So to support me, I have a team of associates who is very diverse, from pharmacists to physiologists to nurses, who support me to create the content and deliver these courses. So yeah, it's been an exciting year and a half.
Amazing. And how are things post-COVID in terms of the way that you're teaching? Because obviously everything went online when we last spoke. How are things from that perspective?
Yeah, so I think people have got used to this new style of learning. I think what it's really done is helped us to be innovative about our learning. So, you know, one of the things that we do as an organisation is very clear that it's not just an online learning, it is an online blended learning, because what we know is, as healthcare professionals, the valuable part of learning is actually sharing ideas with one another. So, you know, we absolutely encourage that online blended learning. So in our courses, yes, we have elements of e-learning. We have tutorials with frontline clinical experts. We have discussion forums where people can use the forum to exchange ideas, which, you know, I think is really important, because as we all know, there's a real regional variability in health right now. So what that enables us to do is, somebody who may be studying with us up in Scotland is able to share their ideas with somebody who's down in London, for instance. And that's worked really well. I think what it has done is, like I said, is if we can learn how to administer vaccines, you know, through e-learning, etc., it's certainly enabled us to open our portfolio on our learning and think, actually, what can we do to make learning interesting? So, you know, again, we've used podcasts, as we're doing today. We've used you know, interviews with people to really bring that learning alive. We've just recently sourced a new e-learning authoring tool, which has been really excited. So in the last year, I've literally been converting all of our existing clinical programs to use this new e-learning authoring tool. And we've also had a new e-learning platform as well. So again, really enabling our learners to move through quite quickly and at ease at a time that's convenient for them, which we know, you know, it's really important in that sector.
And is it now video or just audio?
In terms of the podcasts or?
Yeah, actually the podcasts, what are they, audio?
Both. So we do a mixture. We do a real mixture and it just depends upon the content that we're covering. I think what's really important is we suit all learning styles. You know, so some people may want to listen to the chapters when they're walking out with their dogs, you know, quick 20 minutes on with the headphones, or then you might have somebody that is doing it at their lunch break. So again, we've really tried to cater for all those different learning styles. But, you know, it's a new way of learning. It's a new way of interacting with your healthcare professional. And I think, you know, before COVID, we used to say, we can't learn this skill online. We can't do it while we're not in a face-to-face classroom. And actually, I think what the pandemic has taught us is you can. We've just got to be open and receptive to it.
Yeah, great. I love audio podcasts and listening to things in the car, on my walks, in the kitchen. It's such a great way to absorb information. Even if you don't feel like it's education, you're still absorbing content from conversations from lots of different people. I mean, I love listening to Rangan Chatterjee and Stephen Bartlett, and, you know, all the health and well-being is, you know, what I love to listen to all the time, as well as some really good pharmacy podcasts as well. I was going to say, what's the membership like to your organization in terms of people getting access to these CPD modules and different courses? Do you sign up individually to what you want, or is it a monthly subscription?
Yeah, so we have got a variety of routes. So I guess just to go back, we are a non-for-profit organisation, so we are a charity, and our ambition is to really support patients with long-term conditions, and we do that by upskilling our healthcare professionals. So in terms of where we can, we will absolutely put resources out on our website for, you know, can be free resources, for instance, for people to tap into at their leisure. We also have a route whereby if you wanted to go on one of our accredited courses, obviously you would purchase that course through our website and then go on to it as you would do in any university accredited programs. Or the third thing is we do work with the NHS up and down the UK. So often what we do get is, you know, we work with 43, I think, out of the 45 training hubs. So again, when there's a need, we get a lot of people where the NHS will be funding their courses to come to us. I guess the third time, the kind of other route that we have is a bursary route. So we often sometimes have our pharma partners that may put some money into a bursary, and then a healthcare professional can access the courses and use that bursary to support their learning. So there's some of the opportunities that we have. And like I said, is we do try and put podcasts and webinars. In COVID, we did a respiratory update pack. So again, this is where anybody can go onto our website and tap into it.
Amazing. Oh, that's great. Thanks for giving us an update and giving everyone a reminder of what's been happening in the life of Preeti. I guess today's episode, we're going to wing it, aren't we? Yeah, like we do every time, is all things time management. So the, I guess the first thing we could discuss is, what sort of feedback have you been getting from people, whether that's pharmacists that you work with or whether you're mentoring students or pharmacists, about what they struggle with?
Time. I think it's always a, you know, first one whenever I speak to anybody, it's pretty, I just don't have time for this, and I don't have time for that. I don't have time to do the basic stuff. So I think it's almost, you know, every time it's, you know, the kind of managing relationships, managing your colleagues, etc., or managing projects, that comes later. But the first thing I always hear is, I'm really struggling with how to manage my time. And not just from a professional perspective, but also from a personal perspective. So again, how do I balance my work and professional commitments? You know, what's the techniques that I can use to support me? So I think it's fair to say that is always the first thing that's on everybody's list.
Well, there is always the ever-growing list of things that you need to do at work. There's the ever-growing list of things you need to do at home, whether it's life admin, DIY jobs, sorting out your children's activities and schedules and paying for clubs and renewing any memberships they have and updating school uniform and school shoes and all the rest of it. The list is never ending. And it does creep into your life in a negative way if you get very overwhelmed by it. From a work perspective, what sort of advice have you been giving pharmacists in terms of managing their time a little bit better?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I was reading this article from Harvard University, and, you know, they use almost a three-stage approach, which has really helped me. So I think the first thing is, I always say that you've got to be aware time is not an unlimited resource. Once it's gone, it's gone. You can't get that day back. And I think it's important to value your time more than anything. So once you value your time, you know, like I said, you're not going to get it back. So again, using that day to think, right, I've got this many hours to get my work done. So once you're aware that, you know, time is valuable, I think that's really important. I think the second thing is to work out your goals. You know, what is it that you want to get done in the next 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, or even in the next 2 hours? Or if it's longer term, by the end of, let's say January, what do you want to get done? Or if you want to have a longer term goal? Because I think once you set those goals, you have something to work towards, and then you can allocate your time effectively, which then goes to arranging your time, you know, organizing your time effectively using, you know, whether it's digital platforms or your iPhone, you know, is using what you have available to you that suits you to arrange your time. And I think the last one is probably the most important. It's adapting your time. So again, making sure that you're continuously reviewing how you are spending your time. And, you know, I often say to people, when I was mentoring a student earlier this year, she said to me, she said, "Oh, Preeti, I've done this, but I'm just not getting to my goal." So I said, "Okay, how are you using your time?" And she goes, "Well, I do a little bit of this and I do a little bit of that." And I said, "Well, actually, how do you use it? So tell me, what proportion of your time are you spending on which activities?" And actually, she hadn't gone into really looking at allocating your time. So the first thing I said is, go onto your iPad or go onto your iPhone and check your settings and see how you're using some of the proportion of your time. Because, you know, you get a really good breakdown. And sometimes you get a really startled effect when you look at your phone and go, "Oh my God, I've just spent X number of hours on my phone." Now, that's okay if that's what you want to do. But again, use those features that you've got around you to really look at what you're doing in your week. And using that time to be flexible. I always say to people, yes, you might plan in your time, but it's important to be flexible with it. So if you haven't got to your goal, that's fine. What are you going to do? How can you make it happen? You know, what a proportion of your time needs to be allocated to something else in order to get that task done? Because, you know, don't have a rigid structure, because you always get things thrown in left wheel, whether it's the children in my case, or, you know, it may be another project at work coming through. So you've got to have some effectively free time in your schedule. So if those things happen, you can move things around and be flexible and not be so rigid.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's really hard. I think part of the process is accepting it is a process and accepting that you will get it wrong and you need to learn from that. So you might have put a goal for the month and you think it's going to take you 4 weeks to complete it, but actually it's going to take you 3 months to complete it. And it's the constant review and updating what it is that you need to get done and how long it's going to take. And I kind of start off with the really big goals and think, what is it that I want to get done? So in the last few months, I've obviously been on maternity leave. So my priority is parenting. But I have short bursts of time where I can do little bits and bobs. So naps are a great place to start. The laptop is ready to go when little Kiki goes down for a sleep, whether it's 40 minutes or 3 hours. You know, it changes every day. He naps 2 or 3 times a day. So it's really useful for me to use that time to schedule tasks. And I've kind of allowed myself to think much smaller in this time period, because if I only do get 40 minutes, how much can I really achieve in that time? So the morning nap is always 45 minutes. It's every time. It's 45 minutes, bang on, and he's up. So I use that time to do my yoga, unless we've done it together in the morning, because he's really good. He'll sit with me while I do it and play. So if we haven't had the opportunity to do that in the morning, then when he goes down for his nap, I immediately go downstairs and kind of get my exercise out of the way. His afternoon nap, I tend to work on the podcast. I think about my really big goals. I've written them down on my whiteboard in my office. And then I break them down into smaller tasks that are going to get me to the point of completing it. And a really good example of this is my website. I wanted to get a website where I hosted all of my podcast episodes. I wanted to have an About Me page. I wanted people to be able to contact me instead of just using social media. And I wanted to showcase all my guests and the show notes and their links instead of just relying on Spotify and Apple and YouTube and all the other platforms I have. So the whole design process was really fun and creative. So I spent quite a few evenings just deciding what it is that I wanted to achieve, which I loved. Super fun work. It doesn't feel like work at all. But when I actually started building the website, I had over 80 episodes to basically transfer onto and upload onto my website. So whenever Kai went down for naps, I would spend 15 to 20 minutes basically uploading 2 or 3 episodes and writing the show notes so that each day I got 2 or 3 done. So it was going to get completed within 2 months. And if he had a long nap, happy days, I would get 10, 15 episodes up there. And I got it done way faster than I expected. It was really exciting that I had the ability to create something over a longish period of time. But when you put it into these tiny chunks, you can achieve so much. And you don't realize. You kind of want to tell yourself, I need a whole day. I need a whole week. I need to send him somewhere else so I can concentrate on what I need to do. But that's not my life at the moment. And I've had to really alter my mindset with a very young baby and process things very differently to I'm out of the house, I'm at the hospital, or I'm at the university, and I'm in work mode, and I can do things the way that I want to do without a child needing my attention or milk or food or cuddles. So
I think that's what it is, isn't it? It's the breakdown of the task. But I think, you know, like we just said, it is the kind of goal. You were working towards that goal because it's important you'd set it. So again, you got to the goal, you broke down the tasks and then moved forward, didn't you? But, you know, it goes back to, if you want something to happen, you will find a way of making it happen with your time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was just very excited about launching this website and it being mine. And it was a huge step for 2023 in terms of progressing the podcast that little bit forward. At the end of the day, this is a passion project that I really enjoy. And there's lots of fun things that come out of it. And I get like, I have a website. This is so fun. I'm so excited about this. Like, it's my website. It's about me. And I've created it from scratch and I've done all the colors and all the artwork and it's really exciting. So working towards that goal was also really exciting. And the day I got it done, I was like, oh my goodness, I've made it. But when it comes to work, you treat it in exactly the same way. You have the big goal in mind, and then you have to chop it down into the mini tasks that are going to get you to the point where you can achieve that goal. And you're definitely going to get it wrong many times in terms of the time it takes you. You may want to carve out 4 or 5 hours of your day. But if you're like me in a patient-facing environment, it's very difficult to like carve out that time because patients always come first. So you have to alter your mindset that actually, okay, let me do something within 20 minutes because I can give myself 20 minutes. I can concentrate really deeply for 20 minutes and then deal with the patient-facing task. And whatever I get done in that time is one step further than I was 20 minutes ago. And I love that. And once you mentally overcome the need to have these large chunks of time in order to progress projects quickly, I think you can make a lot of progress.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's like you said, is, you know, nobody has got the 4 or 5 hours. You know, I'm probably, you know, when I look at my work, I'm probably spinning a lot of projects all at the same time. So I may not have time to utilize in terms of, you know, giving 4 or 5 hours to one project in 1 week. Actually, I have to do all of that simultaneously. And you know, like I said, spinning the plates. So I think, you know, it is about, When I do look at that and when I'm spinning lots of plates, it's right, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to make this happen? And something that, you know, I've started saying a lot recently is right people, right place doing the right task. So actually, do you know, does it all need you? Does it all need me? Actually, probably not. Does it need me to be 80% of steering the ship? Yes, but what tasks actually can my, you know, can my, for instance, in my role is what can my associates do? Actually, does it all have to sit with me? How can I utilize their knowledge, their skill set to support me to deal with that project? So again, you know, in pharmacies, this is something I used to do a lot of. I used to say to my team, right, what do you want to do? What are you passionate about? What do you want to really own, you know, end to end? And, you know, somebody would say, Preeti, I really love the stock. So I'd say, right, you're going to manage the stock for today. You know, you'd manage the stock in the week, making sure we've got enough, the right levels of medicines for, you know, each area. Somebody used to say, oh, I love the dosset boxes. So I'd be like, right, you can manage the dosset boxes. And so, you know, when you use people's strengths and knowledge, and passion, you start to see a real change. You don't need to do everything, and that enables you to use your time effectively from the things that you can have maximum impact on. So,
Yeah, no, I love that. That's a great aspect to what you do, especially when you've got a team of people to work with. That's great. In my team, I've got my husband and I've got Liliana. She's very helpful. As a 5-year-old, I get quite a lot done during bath time because she's very responsible. She looks after Kai in the bath. So I could potentially have half an hour to like do the Hoover, fold the clothes, put them all away. And that's my time to get a job done.
That's my house.
Yeah. But like he enjoys playing with her. So I just let them get on with it. I could definitely sit there and play with them. But at the same time, they have quite a cute bonding experience in that time frame. So I let them get on with it, which is quite nice. But when it comes to work-related goals, I'll just go back to something that you said earlier in the conversation, is identifying what you're doing in the day now, is looking at how much time you've spent on your phone, for example, whether you've been on social media or on LinkedIn, or emails. In between meetings, you might have half an hour, and you can utilize your time to work or answer emails. But actually, do you really need to be on emails in that moment? Or could you spend that 30 minutes towards that very important project that you keep avoiding? Because it's so easy to get on email and tell yourself, I'm doing work. I'm working. I'm responding to people's inquiries or, you know, finishing off a task. But how important is it for that day? Anyone can spend like 7 hours on emails. They're always, again, a thing on your list of giant amount of tasks to get done. And in the NHS especially, our emails, you get 100 a day. I could easily sit 4 hours trolling through those and responding. But I will not progress with very important or urgent tasks that relate to what I need to get done in that day. One thing that I've started doing, or I had started doing before I went on mat leave, was scheduling time for emails. So I would get to work at 8 o'clock, have a coffee, and spend 30 to 40 minutes just going through the emails and just answering the urgent ones, and anything else would just have to wait. So that time was very focused on communication. But then I kind of don't get onto my emails until the following day. And as hard as that is, because you always want to respond to people and not have them wait 3 or 4 days before they get a response, you feel bad. But there are so many projects that you're working towards, or patients that you want to see, or clinic notes that you need to write up, or that PowerPoint presentation you need to do for university, that is also just as important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anybody that looks at my calendar will see that it's a bit color-coded. So, you know, I have, same as you, I have a set time to go in emails, and I'll make that work in the day. So it's not a kind of set time, but in the day I will be going in. For my role, it's a little bit different. So that'll probably be, you know, twice or three times. I have a couple of inboxes, so I have to manage them effectively. I think, you know, the best advice somebody gave me was this, don't sneak and peek, which was, you know, if you are in a meeting and you see a notification pop up, unless, you know, the world's burning around you, actually do need to have a look at it. Because what happens then is you look into that email, you don't then respond back to it, and then it almost gets delayed. And how do you manage your emails then? So you know, yeah, I have, you know, times that I do go in. I have if you see my day, you'll know what I'm working on. So a lot of the time you'll see, you know, and it may be may not be on a particular to get something done. I may just need some time to have a brainstorming time. So you'll see that if somebody's asked me to do a task, you'll see that task is actually put in my calendar. And I think what that helps people to understand is how you're utilizing your time as well. So actually, if you can see on a Friday that I'm reviewing material, actually, you know, Preeti's probably not going to respond to other things. So, you know, it also enables people to understand what you're doing, what your focuses are for this week. But as you said, you know, the emails, if you're constantly looking at them, when do you take a moment to step back and think, actually, is what I'm saying the right thing? Because sometimes you do need to take a step back from that email. You need to digest your information. Bless you. And I think that for me is, if you're constantly on it, you don't have that time to take a step back and digest what the other person is saying, and then to put a fully formed response together.
That, and while you're in your meeting and that notification popped up, your focus has been removed from the actual meeting that you're supposed to be engaged with, and you've trying to multitask. We love a bit of multitasking, but actually during mat leave, I've done a lot of reading on being mindful and being present in the moment. And when I return to work, I am changing my practice. I'm not going to be the person who goes to MDT and has my laptop open multitasking. I'm going to be really strict about whether or not I'm actually needed in that MDT. If I can troll through my emails and do other things whilst I'm in the MDT, do I really need to be there? I need to question myself about this, because I'm going back to 4 days a week rather than 5 days a week. I'm very excited about that. But I'm going to have less time. And where do I focus that time in the day? And MDT can be 3 to 4 hours, and I don't have a huge amount of input. So I really need to consider whether or not I could spend that 3 to 4 hours being very focused, doing other things. And what I could do is potentially tell the team, I'm going to pop into the meeting from 12 to 12:30. This is your opportunity to ask pharmacy-related questions. This is your opportunity to involve me in things that have happened in the last 3 hours that need to be resolved, or a way for you to communicate things that I need to do. But I'm not going to sit in the meeting the whole time, because it's actually not a good use of my time. And I can then be present doing other jobs outside of this. So back to your point is that turn those notifications off sometimes, because you would definitely benefit from being focused on the actual task that you're supposed to be doing. And I think that would be really beneficial.
Yeah, it's going back to that awareness of your time, isn't it? That actually you're not going to get your time back. So, you know, I'm managing a project now, which, you know, every week, so 3 or 4 days before the meeting, I'll put a notification out and just say, guys, this is the topic we're going to cover on this day. If that, you know, doesn't need to involve you, or you actually feel you can't add anything because actually your role doesn't involve that part of the process, then feel free not to come. Because I think the worst thing is when people feel they have to come and sit there and listen. Yes, they have an accountability, but I think as the kind of owner of that project also needs to help them to say, do you know what, we're going to talk about this. Actually, if you don't, you know, if it doesn't involve you, then that's fine. And actually supporting that person to get the most out of their time as well. And it's almost that respect, isn't it, that actually you're respecting their time. So in time, you know, it helps with things like relationship building.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I do, which I think my listeners know about, is that when I used to commute on the train, is I used to schedule my time. So that would be my 45 minutes of basically looking at my diary and identifying what I need to do for the day. And I do it on paper, but obviously it's very useful to be able to do it on your phone or through Outlook. And I'm sure you use your email calendar. Especially when you're sharing your calendar with other people, then they can see where they can slot in time with you or see where you are and what you're up to in case they can grab you for 5 minutes for a quick conversation. But scheduling my time and relating it back to the tasks that need to be done or the goals that need to be achieved for the day is really useful. And if I schedule every hour of the day with an activity, it stops me from chit-chatting, which I love, and I schedule in time for the chit-chat, but it stops me from getting distracted and just passing time doing things, such as looking at emails. It stops me from, you know, just focusing on things that need to be done that I want to do, because sometimes I avoid the things that are a little bit more challenging or time consuming. And I'm like, okay, this is the 2 hours that I'm going to be free to work on that PowerPoint presentation. I don't really want to do it, but I know I need to. And it just gives me that focus 2 hours to get it done. And it works. It's literally magic. And I set 3 goals for the day. Absolute tasks that have to be done. So those 3 things have to be done. And like you said, if other things don't get done because all sorts of things pop up, it's okay. Accept that. And then the next day you can go back to your diary and say, what did I not do? And where can I potentially fit that in for today or for the remainder of the week?
Yeah. And it's flexibility. And, you know, as we talk, it's almost, you know, you have to accept, you know, life isn't rigid. You know, there's things that come and go, but it's also, you know, make sure you do put time to be flexible, to have fun for those things that are really important that you get the most energy out of. So, you know, if it is going on Instagram, let's say, then that's okay. But actually look at the amount of time that you do spend. Is it at the detriment of something else? So I think, you know, it's important to identify and be flexible and, you know, work for things that, you know, give you some fun. Because, you know, not everybody wants to be in a rigid day.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of goes in line with how we manage our family time. We have a monthly chart, which Liliana now actually writes up. Being 5, she's got her spelling down. She's a work in progress when it comes to what activities we do. So for example, every Friday I go for a run. So she puts that into the monthly calendar, which is in our kitchen. Sanjay goes for his run on Saturdays. She has her swimming on Wednesdays. She's got rainbows on Tuesdays. So every month we kind of put in all of the activities that need to get done. All the fun stuff that comes with it, the birthday parties, family gatherings, weekend bike rides, whatever we want to do, all goes into the monthly family planner. We also have a competition on kindness points.
Yep.
So if you are kind, you get points, and there are prizes at the end of the week. In our house, the prizes are really simple. They involve you get time to choose music, or we call them sounds. So for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, people get to choose in our household music or stories. Now we have to listen to Peppa Pig, Paw Patrol, and all sorts of other stories on replay, and it is challenging. So we created a schedule so that we don't always have to be listening to Lily's stories. So we get the opportunity to have our music that we like. Sanjay likes his radio in the morning. I can put on a podcast. So when it's your choice and it's your turn, no one can complain, and it's working. It's brilliant. But at the end of the week, whoever gets the most kindness points gets a bonus, and she gets very excited about this bonus. And if she wins, it's like, yes, I get an extra meal with my stories, because she absolutely loves stories. She's obsessed with Audible stories. So she gets that bonus time of enjoying that. So we do our monthly chart, and we sit down as family, sit in the kitchen, get everything logged. And then on a week-to-week basis, Sanjay and I either catch up on a Sunday night or a Monday morning to figure out the week ahead. And this is school drop-offs, school pickups, now nursery drop-offs, nursery pickups, who's taking Liliana to her clubs, who's taking her to birthday parties, because lots of those are now happening. You know, who gets free time to do whatever fun activities they want to do. So if I'm taking Liliana to a birthday party, Sanjay, you can go for your bike ride and enjoy 3 hours to yourself. And on the weekends, we try to share free time. So yesterday, I was able to go for a walk with my cousin, which was wonderful. We went to Sopwell House in Hertfordshire, and had a walk around the spa grounds. And the day before, Sanjay got to go for his run in the morning and enjoy free time when I took Lily to a party. So we tried to give each other a little bit of space to have alone time as well, to do something that we want to do. And we also fit in one workout a week together. So Sanjay and I do that workout together, usually with Kai because he's always around. But we aim to catch up weekly to manage the family schedule. Without that, it's very challenging to get through the day with someone feeling a bit frustrated that they're having to do everything, or we've not been organized. And then it's like, oh my God, what are we eating for dinner tonight? I haven't planned anything, you know, and you get overwhelmed unnecessarily because you're tired. You've been busy with the children all day, or Kai hasn't had any naps and I've not been able to do what I want to do. And, you know, you're, yeah. So, you know, when you feel a little bit frustrated from that perspective, the last thing you might want to do, and for me, is go into the kitchen and start cooking a meal. I just don't know. I open the fridge and I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do right now. So again, we've scheduled meals every week. Sanjay and Lily have to tell me two meals that they want each week and I'll do the rest. I do the online food shop. It gets delivered on Sunday mornings and we've been in that schedule and it's working perfectly.
You know, we do a review as well. I think I mentioned on this podcast a year and a half ago. So, you know, we sit down on a Sunday and do the drop-offs and pickups and what works with our diaries. You know, we have a standard of what each other does. But, you know, if things happen or we get a meeting in left field, then actually we will be flexible. And you know, again, important to kind of use the facilities that you've got around you. So, you know, when you were saying about your child, it's the same as mine. So I think my 6-year-old is my personal admin assistant some days, because, you know, he'll say, oh, Mum, you know, the shopping's coming at this time, or have you done this, Mum? And he's almost become my, you know, your reminders on your iPhone. He is actually my reminder. You know, he comes up to me and says, Mum, this morning he said, Mum, you know that we can't have that appointment today because you've got, you know, your little one's birthday. I'm like, got my sister's birthday. Yes, I need to make sure that that appointment is cancelled. So, you know, he's brilliant at things like that. So I think what's really helpful is when your kids see you doing that, they almost become like that as well. So they almost get that responsibility of what they need to do. So, you know, mine are a little bit older than yours, but yeah, they know what they need to do when they come home. They know what they need to do to help Mum. You know, we have for me, family dinners are really important because both me and my husband have had them, and it's a real opportunity to catch up with the kids. So, you know, we will sit there and we will try that, you know, time to talk to one another. We'll use it for FaceTime because, you know, you want to see their grandparents, but also for us to catch up with our parents as well. So again, we do it as an almost a family time as well. So yeah, it becomes incredibly, incredibly important, those weekly schedules, as I call it. But, you know, even in terms of admin, we were getting to a point, I think, where we had a lot of administrative tasks that just weren't getting done. And so, again, very similar to you, we sat down and said, right, what are the three tasks? We're going to set three mini little admin tasks, whether that's changing a provider of energy, for instance, or something else like that. We're going to have three tasks that we set a week and we're going to get them done. And again, it's going back to the mini tasks. So what do we need to get done? And, you know, sometimes, like I said, is making tasks fun as well. So, you know, when we have a cleanup of the house, you know, you do obviously a cleanup every day, but we have once a week where we do a thorough full cleanup. You know, we get the kids involved and they have to go into their rooms and, you know, take any toys out that they no longer use or they've outgrown or, you know, things like that. So again, they're part of it. So it may, you know, we try where possible, make it fun. They might not think it's fun, but we do try.
it's hard, but it's very valuable for them to see that. And we started the schedule because when Lily's at school, and now I've been on mat leave, there's a lot of things that I do that she doesn't see. So she doesn't see me running. She doesn't know what it's like to see me running, because I always go after the school drop off. A couple of times I've gone early and then I've found her walking to school and I give her a quick kiss and kind of run away. But I want her to visualize me exercising. I think it's really important for them to see that and have you as a role model, that you incorporate exercise into your life and that it's really valuable for your health and well-being. And even with swimming, she goes swimming every week. She knows that I love swimming, but whenever I go swimming, I go on my own. So we've started going on the weekends together, which is really nice. And she enjoys that activity with me. But even with evening routine, I mean, you know how hard it is with two children in the house in the evenings. From 3 p.m. onwards, it's like chaos, not chaos, but it's busy. We have a rule, whoever cooks dinner, the other parent does the washing up. And whoever's washing up cleans the whole kitchen. And the other parent goes up with both kids to start the bedtime routine and get the baths done. And then once they're in the bath, again, like, we do a bit of a hoover, fold the clothes, and the clothes go into individual bedrooms. And Liliana is now really good. She puts away her own clothes. She's been helping me to put Kai's clothes away because he can't do it yet. And she takes that responsibility for him. And again, this is a way for her to get some kindness points, being helpful towards her little brother. Or if I need to do something, she'll look after him in her room. And again, she'll get some kindness points so that she can win her stories for the week. It's so simple. Why can't adult life be this easy?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some things that, you know, it's almost that balance, isn't it? Rewarding, you know, versus actually this is something you need to do as you start to grow up. So no, I love the kindness points. I think they're brilliant.
Yeah, because it's really difficult to teach your child to be kind. You can tell them a million times you need to be kind, you know, think about being kind. What you did was not very kind. You could be very negative. And I've fallen into that trap. Oh, what you did wasn't very kind. I think you should change your behavior. And they hear you, but they don't necessarily learn from it, because they're not really sure why, or the next time they do it, they haven't quite clicked that that was unkind and I shouldn't do it again. So I kind of had to change my perspective on how to make this a more positive experience by showcasing all the good things that she can and will do, rather than moaning that she's being unkind. Because you can get really bogged down as a parent looking at all the things that they don't do correctly, because you want to instill all these good values and morals, and it's really important. Even being grateful, again, I find that really hard to teach, except reminding her to say thank you in the moment, whether it's someone giving her a gift, or, you know, whether I brought her a snack to after school when I pick her up. Like, sometimes she's quite demanding and she's just like, where's my snack? I hear all the kids doing it, right? But I've had to say to her that actually it would be really kind of you to think of me when I pick you up from school. I'm really excited to see you. I'm really excited to know how your day was, and all you care about is food. Why can't you ask me how I am? But she's changing. She's starting to see me, and then she stops. And she's like, Mommy, how was your day? How was your day with Kai? What did you guys do? Oh, by the way, can I have a snack, please?
And that, you know what, it's so funny because it is a resemblance of my six-year-old too. So that, yeah, absolutely. One of the things, you know, he comes out of after school, you know, he's been doing an activity and he runs out. And so, yeah, that's the first thing he does now is, Mommy, how was your day? Okay, can I have the snack now, please?
Yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress. I'm not expecting them to be perfect, and I am just trying to role model the way so that we can create a positive environment for them to grow in. And these are just little examples of things. But if they don't see you doing it, it's really hard for them to sometimes learn, because when you think about the environment that you expose them to, if you're doing things on a regular basis, they'll eventually do it. It will just become normal and natural and part of their day-to-day life. And that's kind of where I'm at, rather than focusing on the negative aspect when they don't do it. Well, that was really useful talking about that, because I think there's a lot of people who do struggle with family life and incorporating that into work life. And your days become very long, and people must think that I stay up till 1-2 in the morning doing all these things. But actually, I'm in bed by 9 o'clock, sometimes 8:30.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's how you utilize your time, right? And I always say, you know, nothing, somebody said to me once, "Oh, nothing in life is free." And actually, it really rings true to me, because, you know, if I look before children, I might have got up at 7 o'clock and, you know, did everything, you know, my own way and took time over my breakfast and et cetera. You know, when you have kids, you might have to get up at 6 o'clock. And it's 1 hour less in bed. So, you know, but it's almost going back to what is it that's important to you as an individual. For me, you know, in a day, I want to make sure, you know, them having a home cooked meal is really important to me. So, you know, the chances of me actually probably have cooked dinner by 8:30 is in the morning is pretty high, because, you know, I get up early, make sure I sort them out. My husband does the breakfast. So yeah, probably by 8:30, either half the dinner's done or we'll have a full completed meal, just because I know my day's probably going to be packed. So again, it's just taking the time to understand what is it that works for you? What is it that you value? And then taking it forward. But using that time, you know, you're not going to achieve your goal unless you don't invest that time.
Yeah, absolutely. I found that explaining to a five-year-old that it's really important that she respects my time. So this has been quite hard with bedtime routines, and it is quite challenging. She's very good. She goes to bed 7:15, 7:30. But there are some days that she's awake till 8 and she can't fall asleep. She keeps on coming downstairs and saying, "I'm still awake, I can't go to sleep," you know. But we've created a rule in the house that once you're in bed, you kind of don't get out of bed. You can relax. You can listen to your Audible stories. You can draw with a pencil in bed with a little notepad. There's a little sewing kit she's got, which is not with needles. It's like cardboard with those strings. She can do those in bed, but she needs to stay in her room. Like we've got a rule now. She's old enough to understand. And the way that I've explained it to her is that, look, all day I do stuff for other people. All day, from the moment I wake up, I'm either doing things for you, or I'm doing things for Kai, or doing things for Daddy. I'm doing things for this family, because that's my responsibility. That's my job. As a mum who's on maternity leave, my job is to look after you. So all day I'm focused on that, and I list out the things that I've been doing. And she's like, "Okay, yeah, that makes sense." So when it comes to evening, I need some time to myself so that I can reset. And I do my meditation, I do my yoga in the evenings, or I'm reading, and it's kind of like my quiet time. And once I explained that to her, it clicked. And I do a little bit of a reminder every now and again, because she forgets. But in general, she started to understand and respect that her parents also want to spend time with each other and they need time to themselves. And in the morning, she can be hit and miss in terms of waking up at 5:30. Today was 5:30. Or it's when her alarm goes off at 7 o'clock in the morning. But again, we've set the rule. You can wake up, you can play in your room, you can read books, you can do whatever you like in your room. Make a mess, I don't mind. But you cannot come out of your room until 7 o'clock. That's the rule. And she knows now. I do my meditation in the mornings, and if she comes out of her room, and I'm doing my meditation, and she's got this burning question. Of course, they always have burning questions at the wrong moments. When I'm meditating, she can put her hand on me so that I know she's there, but she's not allowed to kind of talk and interrupt and ask questions. She has to wait. And it's so hard for her. That 5 minutes, it's so challenging. So she's allowed to sit next to me, kind of like cuddle up to me, but she's not allowed to ask any questions. And that's taken some time as well. That's really taken some time to help her to understand that she needs to respect when someone's trying to do something good for themselves. But it's definitely moving in the right direction.
I think it goes back to, doesn't it, that, you know, if I certainly look at my time management, actually, I think my time management's got a lot better since I've become a mum. And I think, you know, people that are listening, you know, I think we talked about this, if you're embarking on that journey of a mum, you know, it's about looking and thinking, you know, there's a lot of skill sets that I've acquired as being a mum that actually I translate into my job. You know, do I think I'm more efficient now? Absolutely. You know, because I know actually I have to, you know, get my job, you know, or my projects done within this set time frame. So, you know, I try to make sure that every kind of minute is really, really valuable. You know, I try and use the time within that time, because I know by, you know, whatever time it is, I have to go and pick up the kids. So I need to get X, Y, and Z done. So I think, you know, for those that are listening and that are embarking on that journey, you know, don't see it as, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, being a mom is going to push me back in my career. Actually, it's going to give you a whole lot of set of skills that is going to really help you within your day job. So I know, for instance, I'm, like I said, my time is much better. I think I'm efficient at it. You know, I'm more resilient. I can spin a lot more plates all at the same time. So again, it's using all of your personal experiences to support your professional life. And I think that's something that, you know, sometimes we really underestimate as we progress through life.
Yeah. And also setting boundaries, that becomes something that you improve with as you become a parent, because you've got to set those boundaries with your children. And then you're able to do that quite assertively in your workplace. And I've definitely improved on my time management skills and being more efficient and being able to multitask. But I am now thinking about how much I multitask, because I used to do so much. And I think I wasn't always mindful about what I was doing, because I was just so focused on getting the jobs done. So I'm going to try and focus on being a little bit more mindful and being present in the moment and being present on the task that I'm in when I return to work. It'll be a challenge, because it's quite hard, especially in a hospital job, when you're on a ward and you've got a lot of sound coming at you, whether it's the phone ringing, your bleep going off, a student asking a question, a parent asking a question, you know, a doctor randomly coming to you and saying, you know, I need a discharge. It's hard to be present on the actual task that you want to get done. So obviously there's flexibility in this, but I'm going to try.
I'm sure you will succeed. I think, you know, like I said, is that you've learned a lot of skills. You've done the website, you've finished your course. You know, it's just, you know, similar to me. I studied last year. Didn't mean I have to give up some week, you know, evenings. You know, people always say, well, how did you study and do a full-time job and look after the kids? And, you know, it goes back to what I said, is nothing in life is in free. You know, I wanted to make sure that I did the course. Did it mean that once I put the kids in bed and I started studying again? Yes, that's what I did. You know, did I miss on some out of my TV? But, you know, catch-up TV is brilliant. So, you know, did I really miss out? No, I just chose to spend my time in a different way. Because actually achieving, you know, that course was important to me. So, you know, you make it happen. But, you know, it happens with making sure you're around the right people. You're going to have those times when you're going to think, oh, am I having to do this? Or it's not going to work out. So, you know, it's about, you know, getting people who can pick you back up and saying, no, you can do this. And get back onto it. I think sometimes, you know, which I've certainly been guilty, is being on a treadmill, right? And you keep going and you keep going. And actually, my husband's mum recently, actually, she's like, no, you need to book a holiday. You need to make time to book a holiday. And so it was really quite good. Or she said, you know, you need to book a weekend away. And she kept telling me every time I spoke to her. And actually it helped, because in a way, when you get on this treadmill, you think, you know, I need to keep going. But it's really helpful to surround yourself with people who say, no, you need to take a moment. And so, you know, we've got some friends that do that, and it's just brilliant, because they're like, take a deep breath and let's go somewhere. And I think you often need that resetting. So, you know, being around people really helps, you know, for you to be the best that you can be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in our house, like in your house, we have really supportive husbands who want us to be the best versions of ourselves. And we want the same for them as well. And we want to respect their time. We want their support, whether it's in household chores or whether it's something to do with the job that we're in. Just having that sounding board is really beneficial. Even for us, in the example that you gave just now about TV, I've stopped watching TV, and it's easy in the evening to put the children to bed and sit on the sofa and just be like, oh, yes, peace. I'm going to watch one TV show. That's it. Just one TV show and go to bed. That's what we used to do. And then it adds up to 7 hours of TV a week. And I'm like, oh, I could be doing so much more enjoyable activities or something that's good for my health and well-being rather than watching TV. So I only watch TV now once a week on a Thursday. It usually ends up being. And all the other nights we're reading, we're talking to each other, we're doing the yoga, we get into bed early and just chit-chat or just go to sleep early so that we can make sure we're ready for the day. And it's made a massive difference. It's really helped. And not watching TV has impacted my sleep as well.
Yeah, massively. I mean, that's something, you know, my husband should be on this podcast, because that's exactly, you know, for him, he really makes sure that he gets into bed at a good time and really feels rested. Because again, you don't know what's going to happen in that week. You don't know when the kids are going to come home and they're not going to be well, and, you know, you're not going to have a great night's sleep. So, you know, that's something that we try and do as we can. And like you said, it goes back to what I said at the beginning of this podcast, is, you know, make sure you have a look at what you are doing with your time. So what time are you, you know, using it for TV? What proportion of your time are you used for reading? You know, none of that is wrong. You know, it's up to you how you use your time. But think about, like I said, you know, I often hear people saying, I can't get this course done because I just don't have time. And I'm like, okay, let's sit down. Let's talk about what it is you're doing. What time are you spending on this? Do you have to be at that meeting, for instance? How could you move forward? Could you do 20-minute bite-sized chunks of your learning at a time? You know, what are you doing at lunchtime? Do you want to do some learning at lunchtime? You know, all of these things that I think when you start asking the questions, you know, you can see like almost those little light bulbs popping around your student's head, going, oh my god, actually I've got 20 minutes here that I can utilize. So, you know, again, it's just sitting back and reflecting. And I think, you know, sometimes we don't do that, and you have to make time for that as well.
Agreed. You have to schedule that in. And Sunday nights is a great day, or a Monday morning, to reset the week. I like it to be very visual, so I do it on paper. So on monthly charts on paper, and even the weekly diary or the daily diaries on paper. But it can be just as visually appealing on a laptop, where you color code what you need to do and where you need to put your time. And until you do that, you're not going to know where you can make space to push other things forward. So definitely that's a great tip to kind of take away today, is that actually log what you do every hour of the day, and then figure out where you're spending your time.
Yeah, it's really interesting once you do that, and, you know, use the tools that are useful for you, not for others. You know, so I've stopped a to-do list now. I don't have a to-do list at work anymore. If it's not in my calendar, it's not going to get done. I use a digital platform now to kind of box my time effectively for the different activities that I do. So, you know, all these things have helped. And I think, you know, you have to understand when you are at your best, and actually what did you do to get to your best. So again, like I said, use the tools that are, you know, suitable for you. Look at the tools that you've got around that are available to you. You know, prioritize. And I think a lot of people forget that, is make sure you prioritize your tasks. You're not gonna, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, it's a phrase I use often at work. So, you know, it's how do we prioritize what we're doing. And helping others to prioritize their time, I think, is really important.
Oh, that's great. Well, we've covered a lot probably in an hour in terms of managing time. So as always, I really appreciate you taking the time to come onto the podcast and sharing your experience with everyone.
No, thank you so much for having me. And I hope this is some of the tips we've discussed are really helpful for your listeners. And thank you for having me back a third time.
Yeah, third time lucky. And this time, if anyone has any further questions or they'd like us to cover any different topics, do let me know and we can work on getting Preeti back on the podcast for more.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your time once again.